Amen. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be with you. Do you know, there's no situation beyond our God. No situation whatsoever. Even death, God can bring life. You know, I mean, as this, it says there, we understand that our God, our Creator and Saviour, is omnipotent. Omnipotent means all powerful. He is an all powerful God. Nothing is impossible for him. But do you believe that today? Yes, we've just seen a film there. We've just seen a film that shows us the power of God. But what do you believe? What do you believe in your heart? Do you believe that God can raise the dead? It's powerful, isn't it? Do you think he can do that today? You know, it's beautiful because actually the scriptures say that Jesus said that to eat the dead will rise at his command. The dead will rise. Even if you're alive when Jesus returns, you'll live. That just shows you that there's people going to be alive when Jesus returns. Yes, there's people going to be passed away, but they're going to live. You know, I love that where it says, no matter what vulnerable or ill-equipped we feel, no matter the problems and challenges we face, we can trust in the truth that God is matchless in power, unconquerable. How amazing is that? Whatever situation you and I are facing, you have the victory. It might not feel like it at times, but let me tell you this, you have the victory. You know, this chapter is can be divided into four areas. The first area is a preparation for this miracle to take place. Jesus had to prepare his disciples. And we might ask ourselves, well, why? Well, the truth is, they still didn't understand. In fact, they were fearful, some of them. Yes. Thomas shows courage in saying, oh, let's go to Jerusalem, let's go back with Jesus to die. Yes, he shows loyalty, but he doesn't show that his thinking is on board with who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do. Do you know, Jesus always takes time to prepare things. He always takes time. He doesn't rush. You know, I've been a Christian for 34 years, and let me tell you, I've experienced the patience of God. I've had to wait for things. I've had to wait to see the power of God. It's not easy to wait, especially if you feel like if you've got an evangelistic heart to see people saved, to see the works of God. You tend to want it, but you tend to want it now. Patience. Waiting on God is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was preparing them, yes. He was preparing them to see this miracle that was about to take place. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. And yes, he was dead. Because as we know, he'd been in the grave for 4 days. Now let me tell you, the Jews believed that when a person was in the grave for more than 3 days, they were definitely dead. That was it. They were gone. I mean, there was quite a few superstitions hanging about that, you know, they might have fallen asleep or this, that and the other. But they were dead. You know, Jesus had performed 2 miracles beforehand. The widow of Nain's son, who Jesus touched the coffin and raised the son up. And Jairus' daughter, she was raised from the dead. However, these were raised immediately after they died. And so people could have they were asleep. They weren't really dead. They just shut their eyes. They were sleeping. So this is why this fourth day is so important. So crucial for the disciples and the Jews, the Jewish people, and the Pharisees and the scribes and all the religious. The religious fraternity would be there to see this powerful, powerful miracle. So preparation is key. What is God preparing you as individuals for? He's preparing you for something. Talk to him. Ask him questions. Ask advice. God is preparing you for something. What is God preparing for you as a church? He's preparing something. You know, it says in the Bible, forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. You can see it happening already. Sometimes God is showing you right there. You can see it. You see, you've got to have discerning ears. You've got to have a discerning heart. And the truth is that the disciples, they lack this. Yes, when they received the Holy Spirit in all the Holy Spirit's fullness, they came alive in Christ in understanding and discerning. Oh, does the church need the Holy Spirit today? Oh, do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Preparation as a church is crucial. And then when God's prepared you as an individual or a church, it's now time to step out of the boat. You'll get nowhere sitting in the boat. That's not faith. You know, Jesus did things. He moved things. He touched lives. He was an action man, full of action. Every day of his life, he was doing something, not just sitting there and waiting. How many of us, and I'm going to be strong here, how many of us are couch potato Christians, sat on the couch, on the settees, waiting for God to do something? Let me tell you, that's not faith. We've got to take action. And yes, you might say, well, what if we get it wrong? What if you do get it wrong? God does not make mistakes. Let me tell you this. Preparation. preparation for a miracle, preparation to see God move, preparation to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit working out in the church's life, in your individual's life, but also working out in the community. God is preparing you as individuals, and He's preparing you. He's preparing you as a church. But you've got to step out. Otherwise, you will miss the boat. It's as simple as that. And so the arrival of Jesus, they set off. They set off. Thomas thinks they're going to get killed. I don't know what the other disciples were thinking. They're full of fear. They're full of doubt. But they set off. And they arrive. And Mary and Martha comes out. And she greets Jesus. She greets him and says, Lord, if you would have been here. If only you had been here. Our brother Lazarus would not have died. But the truth is, Jesus was glad he wasn't there. That might sound a bit odd. But Jesus is not only omnipotent, he's not only omnipotent, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the past, the present and the future. He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he's using this miracle to teach people. Oh boy, does the church need to be taught the things of God. And so Mary gets into a doctrinal discussion with Jesus. And she says, I believe he'll rise again at the resurrection. I believe that you are the Christ. Yes. She was an expert in doctrine. She knew her doctrine. But did they have a personal relationship? Jesus wanted her to believe in him, not just the doctrine. The doctrine's secondary. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, who dies, will never die. Who believes in me? Believe in me, Martha. In a personal relationship with me. She knew that God would give Jesus anything that he asked for, even though he was dead. She knew. Do you know, I love that where Jesus says, I am. Do you know, he says, I am 7 times in the Gospel of John. He says in 6, John 6, I am the bread of life. In 8, he says, I am the light of the world. In 10, John 10, he says, I am the gate of the sheepfold. In again, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of the life in this text. I am the way, the truth, the life in John 14. I am the true vine in John 15. I am. When God said to Moses, when Moses said to God, who shall I say that you are? God said, go and tell them that I am who I am. Do you know God? God wants to set us free. Yes, he wants to set us free from our sins. He wants to set us free from whatever holds us from producing fruit in our lives. He wants to set us free from whatever binds us to this world. He wants to set us free so that we can come to know him personally, in a personal relationship, so that he can reveal his glory into your life and into this church. You know, he was about to bring Lazarus from the dead. And so as they approach the cave, and Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." You know, you could see there were 4 or 5 men on our film, wasn't there? And they were all... And they were trying to remove... Let me tell you, these stones weighed a ton. And sometimes, these stones that are in our hearts that God wants to roll away so that we can get close to him, sometimes they're very difficult to remove because they've been there since they've... the part of our childhood, their memories. There could be addictions. There could be unbelief. There could be doubts. God wants to roll these stones away from your heart and from my heart. Don't think I'm standing here and saying there's no stones in my heart. We've all got stones that need to be rolled away. Do you know? Jesus commanded Lazarus to come out. Not only did Lazarus hear Jesus, it shows you that the dead hear Jesus. He was dead. He obeyed Jesus. You know, in the last days when that trumpet sounds, the dead will hear Jesus and they will obey him. They will rise. That's what the Bible says. Lazarus obeyed. God raised him. Nothing is impossible for our God. Do you know, I was reading in 2 Kings, another raising, but a different type of raising. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a story of a woodsman, a craftsman, who basically is a prophet. He has a gift of prophecy. How we need that gift in our church today. And all these prophets... They're wanting to build a bigger house. God has told them to build a bigger house because the house that they were in was too small. And so they go to the woods, and this craftsman, he borrows an axe and he's trying to cut down this tree, and all of a sudden his axe head, the head of the axe, falls off and falls into a river. And he goes to Elijah and says, "Oh, I've lost my axe head, Elisha. I borrowed it." It wasn't his, he'd borrowed it. And so Elisha says, Where did you lose it? And he says, "Somewhere there, over there in that river." And so the text says that Elisha took a stick and he threw it right into the very spot where this craftsman had said that it had landed. Now, you and I know that an iron axe head does not float. What happens to it? It sinks. and it stays at the bottom. It becomes rusty. It loses, obviously, its sharpness. It becomes blunt. But you know, as Elisha throws in the stick, and the stick is symbolic of the cross of Jesus. This stick is thrown in, and all of a sudden this axe, it says, floats to the top. And Elisha says, grab it. And so he grabs it. His axe head has risen. It's not decayed. It's not blunt. It's still sharp. Oh, how we need to keep the gospel message sharp. How we need to whatever it is that we face in life, put Jesus in front of it. We've all heard that song, I speak the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, put Jesus in front of it. Bring it to the Lord and it will come alive. Maybe there's people here today who need things in their life, even in their Christian walk, to live again. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe something's gone a bit bland, a bit blunt, and it needs to be sharpened. Cry out to God. God will sharpen your edge. Maybe it's a job. You're getting tired of a job and you're thinking about retirement and you want to move on. Cry out to God. If you're feeling like your life's becoming a bit blunt, if you're feeling like this church is becoming a bit blunt, cry out to Jesus. Because he will raise it. He will raise your heart. He will raise my heart. Do you know, I had an amazing day yesterday, glory to God. It was so powerful. But I had to be sharp. I had to be in tune with the Lord. Led two people to Jesus, hallelujah. Two people crying and asking Jesus to come to know it, to come into their lives. Only last week I was speaking in a school down in Southampton. Let me tell you, they gave me the main hall, praise God. Everybody else was put in the classrooms. I had three sessions with about 500 students. Let me tell you, a sharp message went out that day. Afterwards, two girls approached, one of them crying her eyes out. I went, are you okay? She said, your story's really touched me. I said, look, it's not my story that's touched you. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has touched you. God has used today to reveal his glory into your life. Oh, they let us pray for them. It was beautiful. And you know, the night before I'd spent 3.5 hours I'd stayed at the Catholic chaplain's house. And boy, did you can imagine staying with a Catholic chaplain. Let me tell you this, it was challenging. And that's no disrespect to the Catholic faith. You know, because this Catholic chaplain actually believed that there's a kind of charismatic revival going on within the Catholic Church. Which is exciting. But I sat at his dinner table and his children, I think the oldest was about 28 and the youngest was 22. They all listened to the gospel. Ooh. And they were amazed. Yes, it's, you know, as we know, Catholics celebrate the seven sacraments. We won't go into them. But the bottom line is this. that when I shared with them that Jesus is wanting to come into our lives in a personal way, they were amazed. They didn't understand, just like the disciples didn't understand. You know, the Bible says the king of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. When we understand God and our Creator is omnipotent, omnipresent, that means he's everywhere, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, then that should bring you comfort. That should not make your world so scary, no matter what goes on out there. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He came out. I often wonder how he actually came out. The film there showed him, I think he was walking. But how can you walk when you're firmly tied? I think he hopped out. You know? And yes, he was covered in grave clothes. What are those grave clothes? How do those grave clothes speak to you and I as a church today? It's when we come out of that cave that we was living in our own life. When we come out of that pit that we were in, and I speak from my own experience there, I was in a pit. Then we come out and we receive this new life. It's then now time to take off our own grave clothes. I thank God that Jesus has saved me. Amen. I thank God that one day I'm going to be in glory. Hallelujah. But I also thank God that he's removed the grave clothes of the past. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. It's gone. No more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The grave clothes have gone. And I put on, God has put on Jesus in me. Oh, beautiful. Oh, glory to God. I'm out of that pit. I'm out of that cave. My challenge to you is, have you got any grave clothes still from the past? Well, they shouldn't be there, because Jesus said, take them clothes off him. Take off the grave clothes. Receive the new life. What did Jesus say to the Samaritan woman? He said, if you knew who you were speaking to, I would give you living water. I will give you life, and life to the full. You know, many of us are not living life to the full. What is the life to the full? It's just letting God have every... You know, I was witnessing to someone, and I said, your and my life is like a house with many rooms. And when we come to know Jesus, we need to surrender not just the front room or the kitchen, but we need to surrender every room that's in our hearts, minds, and souls. When we do that, that's when we will come into the fullness and awareness of who God is. The disciples, when they received the Holy Spirit, their minds and their hearts were opened to an understanding. Yes, the Bible does say that we only see in part at this moment in time. And it's only when we get to glory that we will see fully. But what God wants to give us today, what he wants to give us today will satisfy us. It satisfies me. You know, I'll be having a Sunday dinner this afternoon. But let me tell you this, I'll be having a dessert before I start. Yeah. I might even have a salad before I have the Sunday dinner. I want everything. I want what God wants to give me. He wants to give you His fullness. I just want to finish by saying this. That Jesus came into this world to set the captives free. He came into this world to teach people, not just by word, but by action, who He is and what He is. Do you know Him? If you want to have a chat afterwards, I myself, Alex, church leadership team are willing to chat with you. If you want to go deeper with God. I'm sure, you know, Mary and Martha, when they witnessed this powerful miracle, there's no other really. I mean, come on. I mean, what? Man, when they witnessed that, they went deeper. And that's what God wants for you and me. He wants us to go deeper in Him. We've got to keep sharp. Just like the axe that was raised. Jesus was raised. Jesus is sharp. He's living. His word is active. It's powerful. Church, know Him and use His word. And you will see the glory of God in your individual lives and in the church life. Let's pray.